Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Prophet Lynn Templeton. It is now time for the Prophetic Hour sermon, and it is today we are doing a supplemental to last week's sermon. We're going to make this easier for you to grasp. I realize there may be some who may not have followed my teaching last week, especially if they hadn't been with us for a long time, because we, those of you that have been with me for a while, know that I tackle those issues that are not being talked about, not being discussed. And so, you know, the Prophetic Hour is designed to bring those issues to the forefront that the church avoids, or for whatever reason does not bring to you. Our whole plan here is to make you better, to help you in your discipleship so that you can mature. We are all about maturity here at the Prophetic Hour. And so if you're new to the Prophetic Hour or hadn't been with us very long, this is our focus. My name is Lynn Templeton, and I am a called prophet, not self-proclaimed, but a called prophet. And so this is my mission. God has actually given me this mission because we were called in an extraordinary way that opened up that actually told us what our focus should be, which was teaching. So that's what the Prophetic Hour is all about. And again, I'm Prophet Lynn Templeton. And today we're going to discuss the church evil culture, suffer and die, false precept. We're going to do a discussion on that and covering those areas that I think you may have had a problem with, or at least some of you, and make it a little more plainer, a little bit more, make it easier for you to grasp this idea, because I think most Christians don't even realize that they're practicing something that is very, it's not pleasing to God, and it's actually causing them to suffer and experience life in a way that God never meant. So on that outline, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this teaching. We thank you for opening our eyes to see one more area that needs to be corrected. Thank you, and help us to deliver this message to your people so that they may be edified in their lives, lives made better from the knowledge they will gain. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. First of all, let's look at the meaning of the definition of a precept and its meaning. In order to know what a false precept is, we need to discuss what a precept is again, and make sure you understand this biblical concept. Now, if you remember the definition of a precept, which is pretty accurate, it says the a precept is a guiding principle or rule that is used to control, influence, or regulate conduct. And I got another short version from Google. It says a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. And, you know, really that is very accurate. That is very accurate of what a precept is. Churches don't explain what a precept is, neither do they get into the mechanics of how to use precepts, how to use testimonies and precepts. They are very powerful tools, but the church has failed to provide you with the knowledge of precepts and how to use these powerful tools. So, okay, that's the definition. Now, the Bible verses that express precepts, Exodus, these are the new ones that I found that I wanted to present to you today. In addition to last week, we looked at Psalms 19, verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor thou father and thou mother, that thou days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. You know what? Before we get into this precept, I'm sorry, let me back up and give you a better understanding of the definition first, okay? I'm sorry. Let's do that. Let's back up. Now, okay, what the world the world has a version of this, and you don't realize it, but every day you are hearing what the world version of precepts, you're hearing the world version of precepts, what the world called in advertising. You know, I've got a marketing background, in fact, a bachelor's degree in marketing. And what they call a slogan, a jingle, catchphrase or a motto. This is nothing more than the world version of precept. You see, so for example, a slogan. Let's see whose slogan I could use. Just about all of your large companies have a slogan. Just about all of it, of all of them. And let's see, Toyota, their slogan is "Let's go places." You see, and when you hear that, it influences you. You automatically attach the name Toyota to that slogan. It's very similar, so that it regulates your behavior to consider buying, to buy a Toyota. Because remember, a precept is intended to regulate behavior or thought. You see? Let's see, BMW, theirs is designed for driving pleasure. Designed for driving pleasure. See, that motivates you, influence you at your subconscious level to buy a BMW. So every one of these, in particular, all of these large companies have slogans, or they have a motto, and depending on what type of organization, it may be a motto or a jingle or a catchphrase. So this is the world version of a precept. Now, that should make it a little bit better. Let's look at one other thing. Let's look at an actual precept that is not a commandment. As I mentioned last week, all of your commandments are precepts. But let's look at one that's not a commandment. And the first one that comes to mind is all of us have heard the one that says, "Honor thou father and mother so that your days be long." See, that's a precept. That's a biblical precept. And it's inclusive of more than one. It's inclusive. And it's based on Exodus 20, verse 12, which says, "Honor thou father and thou mother, that thou days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee." So, another one all Christians have heard, and in fact it's called, I think it's called the Golden Rule. And Luke is found in Luke 6:31. It says, "Do unto others as you wish them to do unto you." Luke reads chapter 6, verse 31, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." So that is another precept, and it's called the Golden Rule because it actually is attached to many laws, many commandments, and rules that are in the Bible. Almost all of those categories that fall under the ordinances of God, which, by the way, the word ordinance means all of the commands God orders from human beings. You know, that's everything. That's the laws, commandments, statutes, regulations, and rules. So that's what the word ordinance means. Okay. Now, so precepts are designed to shortcut into your subconscious memory so that you will habitually follow, will do whatever it is prescribing you to do. You don't have to stop and say, am I violating a commandment? Am I violating a law? Am I, you know? So it simplifies it, and it is automatically memorized into your subconscious. So that hopefully will help you to understand what a precept is. And I want to mention that a precept is very important in biblical terms, even though you don't hear churches talking about precepts, because a lot of them don't even know what it is. For example, in Psalms 119, verse 15, it says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. In Isaiah 28:13, it really discuss how important a precept is, because it says, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So a precept, if you get the precept, you won't fall backward into what you were doing. You will know the correct action without thinking about it, and you won't be easily snared. So that's the thing about precepts. They remind you and they direct you in your path. So this is the thing about a precept. Now, we discuss, the death culture, the church death culture, suffer and die concept is a false precept. It's a false precept because God never transcribed us to practice the funerary practices that we do today, and actually during his time when Christ was here. And this funerary practice is what spring forth this idea that you must, life is about suffering, that you must suffer, and then after suffering through your life process, then you die. And we have this framed in our mind, in our subconscious, whether we realize it or not, unless you have trained yourself out of that idea. And the way you train yourself out of that is through your belief, knowledge, through the word, gaining knowledge of the word, where it you got an understanding of what Jesus was saying, and that was that through his remarks about he was the resurrection and the life, that there's a new order, that literally there are those who don't have to die. Now, that may sound strange to a lot of Christians, as well as the world, because that's what Jesus really meant. That's, and you know, and she couldn't take it, Lazarus' sister. That was, you know, she couldn't buy into that. That's why she walked away and went and told her sister that Jesus was calling for her. You see, a lot of people really don't believe what they say they believe. See, but if you believe his word and what he say, then it means exactly what it says. And so this is why it's easy for a lot of people to adhere to these false precepts that people around them believe, because the people around them more than likely don't even believe, have the faith that they supposed to, and so they carry on these misinterpreted Bible verses, these misinterpreted passages of the Bible, and this becomes their way of thinking, and their way of thinking leads into their actions, you see. And so this this is what you, so a false false precept is what is indoctrinated in most cases through accidentally by following the masses, because most people accept these false precepts, in particular this one, because the funerary practices in most societies is not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. Most people belief about funerals is not according to the Bible. Most people are like Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters. You see? So this is what we this is what we do, because we misinterpret the Bible and we follow the crowd. I want to also note that we adapt false precepts unaware. We don't realize it. In fact, in most cases, it starts at during our early years. You see, when you know, you might have went to your first funeral with your parents at 6, 7, or 8 years old. And so if your parents react and accept this, the way your parents reacted to this death, is it made you think this is the way it's supposed to be. At that age, you are being programmed. You see, your basic fundamental programming happens in the first 7 years. And so when you saw your parents react to death the way they did, then it became normal to you. And so this is why I say, this is what why we say that false precepts are adapted unaware. And it's also adapted through cultural influence as well as societal influences. You see, because many in our society and cultures practice this misunderstanding of this biblical concept, funerals. And over time, this has become the norm. And so this is the case in particular of our funerary practices. So remember, it says that a precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. So this idea of funerals is the foundation of how people got to thinking about this idea of suffering and dying, how it's first formed. And it is cemented by our understanding, our false or misinterpretation of Bible verses, of Bible concepts, and in particular Bible verses. And in particular, in this case, the Bible verse that has been grossly misinterpreted is Matthew 11:28, because we have not been taught the complete understanding of the gospel. Most people have this verse erroneously understood. It has been taught erroneously to them, and so they understand it in error. So this I wanted to present to you. I wanted to make sure you understood what a precept was and how most false precepts come about, because this was kind of a complicated teaching for those who, first of all, never heard of a precept, or at least they may have heard of the precept but didn't understand what it was and its importance. And so I thought it might be good to break it down a little bit more. So on that note, I'd like to say I want to thank you for joining us. If this has helped you, I would appreciate it if you would let me know, because these type of sermons require a lot of work in order to get it to the public and present it correctly to the public. So this again, I thank you for joining us. This is Prophet Lynn Templeton, hoping you have a blessed week, and join us again next Sunday at the same time, 5 p.m. So long, and have